Today, I welcome Crystal Clare to Mystical Sisterhood. Crystal is an architect of consciousness, mentor, author, and psychic channel. She's here to share deep wisdom around consciousness, soul blueprints, your very unique expression, and our human awakening. This conversation will support you in your own becoming. You are here as a divine being with gifts and abilities beyond your imagination. What a beautiful invitation to inhabit your being in fullness. I loved Crystal's clear channel of love, compassion, and expansion. I know that you will feel the frequency of her transmissions too. Stick around until the end or listen to the breakout prayer transmission, which I will separate into a separate audio for you this week. With deep gratitude, I welcome you into our conversation today. Thank you, Crystal. And see you in the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Today, I am with Crystal Clare. I'm so excited, Crystal, to have you here. I'm just going to say a few words about you. Ariana Mesplé, who's been on the podcast and is a dear friend, introduced us. So this is our first meeting. And I'm laughing because it's 6 a.m. my time in Chicago and you're in Bali. I just feel like there's a lot of energy here. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. And I'm excited about the conversation. But just as a quick introduction for those of you who don't know Crystal yet, she is an architect of consciousness, mentor, author, and psychic channel, and devoted to helping individuals understand the deeper architecture, and I love that word, of reality, of identity, soul purpose, and human awakening, so they can reconnect with soul blueprint and embody their purpose. So you work with people, I think, in one-on-one in groups, and I know from firsthand account that the work that you do with individuals, I'll just go off script, is it is very multidimensional. It is bringing in new perspectives of seeing the world and our lives. And I feel like that's the constant change or transformation that goes on for each of us daily. And the more we're aware of it, I don't know, it's almost like the brighter it becomes, the more meaningful, the more we can see each and everything that happens as something that lends to our greater whole. So I'll just stop there because I think that there's going to be so many juicy elements to our conversation. But first and foremost, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. I mean that leans perfectly into what I do in the terms of the blueprint and the design of like our soul. And I feel like a lot of the time we're kind of running around blind, not knowing what we're doing here. And yeah, what I focus on, like you said, you like the word architecture. It's like we actually have a divine design. We have a blueprint that we came here with, and it's inside of us. It lives inside of us. And most people are not aware that, we're busy trying to be special or trying to be unique, but we're already so unique. And we can get very lost in that like false self of specialness, like looking to be something other than who we are, because we're so programmed out of that. So I spend all of my time helping people decondition from that matrix reality that is conditioned and imprinted on, it could because of the nature of reality that we came down into. And I help them replug back in or reconnect back in or remember why a lot of people speak about remembering in this scene is remembering their divine design that already lives inside of them. It's like we're too busy and too noisy to actually hear, sense, see, feel it, and our gifts are not online enough to be able to know it. So yeah, my job is to help people awaken those gates and those gifts, the gates of their own consciousness, right?
Yeah, thank you for that. And it's like what's coming to me is that, we're living in this time where all this AI and automation and technology is coming in, and we were kind of conditioned to be automatons in a lot of our life, right? And so we're at this time where we're deconditioning and becoming less of that automatic program that we grew up with and all the things we, all the like milestones and all the things that we had to do. And it's a funny time in a sense because we are deconditioning, becoming more of our human self. And at the same time, it's like, whoa, here we're going to make everything roboticized again, or it's almost like it's here to take it away. So what are we here to know about what's here for us right now?
I have a lot of tingles around this one because how I view AI is like an acceleration of everything. And I've been watching it and mapping it and seeing what it's creating because naturally I'm into the whole spectrum of consciousness. And what I see is actually people who are more in the forgetfulness of who they are, they're handing their sovereignty and their creativity over to AI. So it's almost like people are becoming monotonous. Everything sounds the same, and you'll hear that in the AI speak. It's like everything sounds the same, right? It has a cadence, it has a frequency. You can tell immediately, I can tell immediately when it's AI. I'm sure people are catching on to everything starting to sound the same. And I keep getting the download, and in the sea of sameness, when you remember your original design and you remember who you are, you will stand out. So it actually supports people who are in remembering to come up, to rise to the surface, because in a sea of sameness, that individuality, that uniqueness cuts through that. So when you don't outsource your creativity and your words and your voice to AI, you actually stand a better chance now of being seen, being noticed, because yeah, so I see it as an acceleration of it starting to show who really is in remembrance and who's forgetting. And that's okay. We have this full spectrum of like, the split. And I don't see that as a bad thing. It's like AI is just accelerating us. And yes, there's many different outcomes and timelines and different things that are happening because of it. And I can very much see a lot of the different aspects of the trajectory of the way things are going, but it's not in a doomsday way. It's more like everything exists and consciousness is rising, and so is this, right?
Okay, so I love that perspective because even when I look at things and I've worked on looking at, in the beginning, like how I really used to see the world as black and white, this or that, I'm way far from that now. However, there's still like a part of me that's like, is this right or is this wrong? So I love you kind of highlighting and putting perspective on that of like, well, wait a minute, let's look at it from a different angle or many different angles.
Yeah, this is part of the unity consciousness. The 5D that people talk about, unifying, it means that you're not in right or wrong, a polarity on any different, on any kind of level. You're not on sides because sides create division, right? And then we're split. Whereas when we see it from like an overarching unified field of like everything exists from love. And I really see this in terms of I have a deep understanding of shadow and the purpose of it. We could not be initiated in this realm if we didn't have people who were playing the trickster, the devil, like playing these roles, the narcissist. Like if we didn't have those people, we wouldn't be initiated into who we are. It's like we need the contrast to actually become. And that's when you start to rise over your print, your blueprint, and you start to go like, wow, my design is very intelligent because I couldn't have activated this part of me if I didn't have this experience. And you start to see your past and everything that you've experienced that was hard as more golden. And this is what it means by like your actual history changes. Like the timeline shifts with you because you actually don't resent or blame or shame anything that happened or feel anything dense around it. It's like it transforms itself through unity. And what I was seeing when I tune into unity as a blueprint, because it's coming for us, right? Greed does not make sense on a unified field because you will be able to see and know everything in the field. And this is where we're going with telepathy, actually. As we activate our consciousness, as we go into our own inner gates and turn on who we are as a soul, we start to activate telepathy, knowing we're able to read frequencies, we're able to tell the truth. We are lie detectors, basically. And that means that everything is known and seen in the field. So if somebody has a shadow agenda and they're hoarding from a place of greed and lack and fear, you would see them and they would see themselves as taking from everybody. And it's like they're hoarding for themselves, but there's plenty for everybody. It doesn't make sense. It's like it stops existing. So we don't have this individuated thing anymore because we kind of see that like you're able to see the space that people are creating from. And obviously it's going to take a long time before our collective is on that wave. But that's where we're heading. And it's like these lower densities cease to exist. It's like darkness exists, but not density. And actually, if you talk about light and dark, the reality that we're living in is 99% dark. We all that we can perceive is the light because we're geared towards being able to perceive light through our lens. But actually, everything else is dark. So what we can't see is in the void. So we have this like duality of existence and unified knowing that it's all love. And this is where I'm very careful that people kind of say, like, well, how can you say terrible things that are happening are love? It's like the transformation that's happening through war and through these awful things and through the agreements of the soul to come and express that density of consciousness. This creates change for the whole collective. So I see, like, even for myself, having gone through illness, like you kind of like take one for the team to present something through your physical. It's like this is how much we love that we would choose as a soul to come down and have a horrible experience so that we can actually present it, like embody it, so that the whole field can see it and the whole field
Fascinating.
can feel through it. I see that like very powerful souls coming to play those roles, that to play the roles that they end up in war or in hardship or whatever, you name it. There's so many different things that we can experience here. And it's not to take away from the pain of what people experience. I have deep reverence for the human. I've been through many painful things myself. It's to know that it's not a bypass by just saying, oh, well, they chose it. It's to have reverence for the human that's having that experience because it's hard. It's
That's
like, and
beautiful.
right, and we are divine beings, and our life is sacred. We've really forgotten that we're really sacred, and this is a miraculous place. I hear a lot of spiritual teachers kind of saying like this is the worst place that we could come to. But when I connected to my essence as a soul and like the miracle of actually being here, like what it takes to project your consciousness down into physical form, it is a miracle. It's an absolute incredible miracle. It's a miracle experience. We wouldn't be here if we didn't want to have that experience. And it's the only reality that you can look at something outside of yourself and experience this separate self, like a baby or a lover, this like the idea of two separate things. We don't have that in other dimensions, right? Because we can see the oneness.
I have so many thoughts as you talk, because it feels like I know in my own experience that I don't know if it's the higher self or what guides us, but we put something out there and it's like we're drawn to it, like me creating this podcast, or I was attracted to unity consciousness in a sense without me, like on an egoic plane, knowing what unity conscious was. It was almost like a feeling I was drawn to more. And I think there's that, like, what are we up to? Like, our blueprint knows the way, in a sense. Like, what's happening?
And actually, if you imagine those codes live inside of you, it's part of your subconscious as well. We're already pre-programmed. We're already pre-programmed of what we're here to do. Just like if a flower was a seed, it's already coded with what kind of flower that's supposed to be. We're the same. We just don't view ourselves like that. So, right. And we all have a specific, unique seed of why we came here. And, a lot of people, especially in the spiritual world, will say, oh, you just came here to be loved. But it's true. But actually, you have a very unique essence. You have a very unique embodiment of what that love looks like. You have a very unique purpose for being here. And it's not just to be loved. There's like a layer of what we came and imprinted through, like what arises from your subconscious, those inner feelings through your energetic field. We have this toroidal field that's full of information that creates our physical. And you're catching the waves from your desire of like, oh, I'm drawn towards that. You're following your resonance. So that stuff is vibrating in our field. It's creating resonance for something that we're attracted to. And that thing that we're attracted to just happens to be a piece of the puzzle, right? So it's when I say it's a brilliant design, it is like the most amazing design. When you start to see it, like the only phrase is, oh my God. Like that is like, I remember when I was discovering mine, I was like applauding my higher self, kind of being like, oh, I get a front row seat down here to kind of, I see it like, we have this tapestry that we've already created right before we came here. We're experiencing it on a timeline because of this reality. It's slower. So we experience time because things are so slow. But actually, if you imagine a tapestry or a painting that's already been painted and you're just walking around on it, you're just like exploring it, right? And it's like a live painting. that you can go within the parameters of what you've already painted. You can go this way and that way, and that's the idea of free will. But you're going to live your destiny. That's the North Star that's pulling you forward, is pulling you by resonance towards the themes and topics,
Yes,
right?
yes. Yeah, and I'm thinking like everything, like you're saying, can exist together. And so I'm thinking of either the listener who feels like they are like, okay, what is Crystal saying? And I've got this blue soul, divine blueprint. And what are some sort of the beginning questions or the things that then, as a person who is listening and they think like, oh my gosh, oh, what this is for me? What is that awakening? And what should we, in a sense, pay attention to? Is it like, are we getting signals from our body? Are we getting cues from the outside that are
Yeah.
helping us, that's supporting
With
us?
the blueprint and specifically, like you're going to look for clues in your whole tapestry. So like what you were into as a child, little kind of weird magical experiences that you might have had. I always look to the childhood because you remember traumas and gifts. So there's like two things layered in there. They're part of the clues. So if you go back through your whole life and you start to map the tapestry, you start to map the themes that you've been living. So whether that's like struggling with money, because we need challenges to initiate us, right? So we need contrast. That's why people kind of we need to get out of the idea of like, well, why would I create pain for myself? It's like pain is the greatest awakener, it's the greatest initiator. That contrast of disharmony through not living in alignment, that's our biggest pain. So anytime we're out of alignment, we'll have experiences where things feel out of flow. So you pay attention to like how much your life is flowing, what your belief system is. I mean, there's so many layers that you could begin with, but I would just begin with observing and starting to widen your lens a little bit on your life and starting to self-inquire. Like the first point that I started at was a kind of asking like, who am I? What am I doing here? Like I remember very young, maybe like 8 years old, I was walking in the countryside and I was looking around going, what am I doing here? Like, what is this place? I remember specifically remember like feeling like an alien on this planet. And it just maps over time.
Evoking
It had,
tracking.
right. Yeah. And kind of wondering like, what is this all about? Like, what is this reality about? And to start with those questions, and I would say, Maureen, like something to pay attention to is we can't really start to ask these questions. Like we're quite privileged to be in a position where we can ask these questions, right? If we're in survival, it's very hard to be like self-inquiring about who am I and why am I here. The first point is actually to get yourself out of survival, right? That's the first point. Whatever way means that you go towards that. And actually, when you see then that this personal development work and personal growth and learning how your magnetic field operates, right? This is the law of attraction. That actually helps you to get out of survival. So that there, straight away, there's a reason to like inquire and there's a reason to look at your manifestation. There's a reason to explore what's vibrating in this reality. And I would start with that. It's like, what are your desires? And you know, a lot of people don't even ask themselves, what do I want from life? We're just so much on the hamster wheel. Like I remember the first time I asked myself that question, it took me about 6 months to come up with an answer. And you don't need to have an answer straight away.
Questions are just so beautiful. I remember sitting in circle like 15 years ago with a woman who did them locally, and we would join every couple of weeks or something, that tuning into the art of the question. And I think as a younger woman at that time, I really thought to myself, gosh, I've never been in situations where I was asked the question. So it makes sense also when someone asks you a question like, what do you want from life, that we don't have answers yet, or the question of what are your needs? It's like, I don't know. And that's okay to be in the I don't know, because it seems like the portal to knowing.
Yeah, and actually I would say again and again and again, saying I don't know. Like on the spiritual journey, you come across like moments, the spiral where you're going around the spiral, you go up and you go back down, and you get to a point where you just feel like you know nothing again. You know, just when you think you know something, you're like smashed into a new reality where like again, there's more, there's endless amounts. Like what's known in this field is like a pinpoint. It's so small. It's so small in comparison to what's actually happening and available. And like our lenses are limited for a reason. Like we wouldn't be able to actually take in all of the information that is in the field. This is why we can't actively see like everything that's going on energetically around us because it would be way too much. It would be too much for the human to handle. Right. And that's why our gifts come online slowly, never until you're ready. It's like they don't, and they it's kind of like a glowing, like a glow worm. It's like they kind of glow in and out, and in it, it's and slowly, like it's really like rubbing your eyes and slowly waking up, and like things start to get clearer and clearer over time. And even talking about gifts, like a lot of times people ask me, well, how do I access my gifts, or how do I activate my gifts? And actually, my experience of it, and with all the people that I work with, is the more conscious you get, the more you're able to see through the real eyes of the divine, the more your gifts come online, because this is the ability to open the perception, right? So you're just unlayering what's already layered on top of your gifts. So for that, there's nothing really to do to like activate them, but there is a self-inquiry process where you're literally in this like matrix field and you're trying to escape it. And the only way out is into the programs and conditions that hold you in a specific reality. And I started to see, like over the years, as my gifts opened, I started to see people's realities. I was like, oh, really experiencing the frequency, the energy, the vibration, and the codes that they're living through. And when you get tuned to that, you start to unlock the gates to get out,
Ooh, I like,
right? To access heaven on earth, the inner kingdom. You start to open your consciousness to be able to live heaven on earth. It's not somewhere else, it's here. And that's why two people can be literally like we live in totally different realities. And I live for the moment where I can that it's happened to me like a handful of times in this life where I meet somebody in the exact same reality and I know it and I can feel it, the field. It's like the river, the Nile parts,
Oh,
and
that's really cool. Yeah.
right?
Yes.
That's how I experience it. You're totally in the same field, and then it's
Mm-hmm.
like I live for those moments because it just feels like yes, we remember together.
That's beautiful.
There's a
Yes.
recognition.
Yeah, and there doesn't even have to be the history. It's a knowing. I was going to ask about present moment. I had seen a reel you created on present moment. I feel like there's been a lot of present moment awareness. There's been books written about it, gurus talking about it, all the things. Why is present moment awareness and practicing presence important in the now? And how can that assist anyone, really?
And this is what all the spiritual teachers, the great ones, talk about, right? Be here now, Ram Dass. Presence came to me in a vision many years ago as a transmission. And it was this guy showing me what it really felt like to receive a transmission of presence. And we have many animals that teach us presence as well, like the dolphins and horses. And yeah, they teach you how to be in the present moment. But the reason why you might want to be present, or the reason why that's such a strong, like, spiritual teaching is actually if you imagine our focus, and we'll say everything that's playing in our fields. I'm talking about this toroidal energetic field that we all have that's full of, it's both full of our divine DNA, our divine blueprint, and it's also full of junk. It's full of all the mental programs, the mental noise. It's full of things that you read yesterday and an argument that you had. And we're dragging a lot with us energetically through the thought realm mostly and the emotional body as well. And when you become present, you collapse the field. So it's like you're no longer living in the storyline of what happened yesterday or what happened 3 months ago. You're no longer dragging history with you. You're no longer projecting into the future fears of what might happen, right? You're actually living now. And if you imagine this like energetic horizontal plane, you're spreading your energy really thin across a horizontal plane instead of it being all here. So when you collapse into the present moment, all of your energy is available. The full magnet can be on for your creation. And that means that you're much more potent and powerful. You're potent. Like your signal is strong. Your signal is not dispersed across many different timelines. You're not fragmented anymore. And this is what it means to have a fragmented soul, a fragmented mind, a fragmented energy system. Why are so many healings focused on like clearing and cleaning and, putting the system back together? It's because we're so fragmented because of the way that we came in and formed through this reality. And this is a puzzle that we're putting back together. And when we become present, the puzzle can come together.
I love
And
that.
right. And actually, the more present you get, and this is funny because I spent some time living in India and I was learning how to meditate, right? This is years ago. I was studying yoga. And they sat me in a room, and every evening for like 3 hours, I had to sit and meditate and with no instruction. And I just remember for the first few weeks, I was just squirming and uncomfortable and busy and noisy, and my physical was sore. Like it was hard for me to sit for that long. And what happened was, as I kept showing up to sit, the noise got less. So it was almost like over time, I got more peaceful with being one, my body being able to sit in that position. And then two, I just started to become the observer of my experience versus like getting pulled around by it. And people really struggle to meditate because there's so much noise going on when you actually stop. It's like the full orchestra is playing, right?
Oh, totally.
And it's not about just, sorry, I can see a huge full moon. Wow. We're in a good energy, right? It's not about just switching that off. We can't just switch off the orchestra. And actually, that would be bypassing what is. It's about observing what's playing. Okay, like getting into like, oh, why is that thought on repeat? Like, what am I processing there? There's a lot going on. The thoughts are signals to what's going on deeper. So if you actually follow your thoughts into the root of where they're coming from, you can start to pick them out. You can start to transform them. And this is not just a sit down, meditate for a few weeks and you're done. This is like over time you become more present because you're not dragged into many different realities. You're more masterful with like allowing yourself, because you're not holding, it's not a state that we're holding. It's actually you just become present because you're untangling yourself from all of those different storylines and threads of energy, and there's so many things pulling our attention. And what do you see in the world right now? Our attention is dispersed. We have like the attention deficit, right? It's like our focus is all over the place. I don't know if Ariana told you this, but Nikola Tesla is one of my main guides in the other realms, as they work a lot with energy, frequency, and vibration. And he's always telling me it's laser light focus. So we're trying to, we are already focused up there. We're focusing our consciousness down into physical form. We are slowed down light. And then we're here trying to focus again on why we came here, right? And it's a big thing, right? We're trying to listen. We're trying to untangle ourselves from this web of energy that we're in. We're trying to get our power back through the center. We're trying to clean our energy centers so that we can turn back on and we can live free. This is what it means to actually be free. It's free your consciousness. There's no escape. You free yourself from the inside out. You get out of the cage that we've built to live through, right? And we're really becoming free from the inside. And that's why presence is such an important thing, because it's actually when you sit and listen, you start to see where you're caught. You start to see where the hooks are. You start to see what's going on. We get trapped a lot because we think, oh, I shouldn't be thinking. I'm so bad at meditating. It's like, no, pay attention to what you're thinking. They're signals. So then it becomes more of a curious, like we're curious about why I'm thinking that thing rather than, oh, rather than I need to get rid of it, right? It's more like, let me see it, let me witness it, let me observe it.
Absolutely. I have a couple thoughts about that. I had my own example where the other day I was looking at learning about it's if I post, I tend to post on Instagram. So then they have a new feature called edits, and I was looking at it in order to like create short reels. And when I get like too techie or admin kind of stuff, I tend to almost want to fall down. Like I just, but on it, on the actual program, which is I think a beautiful program, like in order to create short form videos, other people's reels were coming up. And it was suggested to me that that can be inspiration. But I got flooded out and I was like, I can't. And so it's kind of related to what you said earlier about like we each have this unique kind of expression that is coming forth and coming forth. And I think in that moment, I was falling into an old programming of comparison and also a way of doing things that someone else was telling me that was the way to do it, which is my choice, of course. But I just felt I think it was an old programming of not enoughness or competition coming through. And I just had to set it to the side. I was like, I can't. But I think there's a lot, even those moments in our days are teaching us a lot.
Yeah, and it's to pay attention, right? And what are you paying attention to? Where are you paying your attention, your currency, your energy, right? And I would say, like, and I encourage this with all the people that I work with, to unplug as much as possible from all of the input. Like, I even encourage people to stop reading, to stop listening to podcasts, to stop consuming. That the first part of my journey is actually 3 months of unplugging, cleansing, Like living in Bali, I really see the beauty of like how their culture is set up because they focus on constantly purifying and cleaning. So they're always cleansing the energy and to get empty so that you can receive. Because if we're full of input, like honestly, like so many people go around listening to stuff all day, or then they're talking. So they're not actually taking time to listen in. And again, it's because there's so much going on in here that they're trying to distract themselves away from feeling everything. But actually, this is where our power is. We had this beautiful holiday here last week. It's called Nepi. And everyone unplugs for the whole day. There's no work, you're not allowed electricity, you're not allowed Wi-Fi. Like you go inside this darkness. And I was like, oh, I can't wait. This is like a silent field. And Tesla, Nikola Tesla's always telling me as well, in the silence, you will hear God. Silence is golden. And it's like you learn how to hear the deeper layers of reality when you're silent, when you're still. And if you can get to that zero point of stillness where the field collapses, it's a very specific experience where like you're in the holding pattern of omnipresence of no time space, like nothing exists and everything exists at the same time. You can heal from there. You can reveal, you can create from there, you can channel from there. Like it's a really potent space, right? It's super important. And we're constantly plugged in and pulled into other people's realities if we're consuming the whole time. And we have a real problem with technology. We're like it's a real portal that will suck your life if you allow it. Like, and everybody will have this problem. Like I have to put my phone away. I now have my Nepi from the morning until 5 p.m. I don't go on my phone. As much as I can, I try and honor that because I want to have this time so that I can create, that I can output, that I can channel, that I can get rid of the noise. And there's a rule, no input in that time, no listening to podcasts, no listening to music, no reading, no being influenced, no scrolling, no outside influence, no engaging in conversations. Because when you engage with somebody else on a conversational level, you're pulled into their field. And then you're dealing with the imprint. Like sometimes, you'll hear echoes of people's conversations as you leave them. It kind of sticks with you sometimes energetically and on a mental level. You'll start to notice that, well, I notice things like this because I'm always paying attention to what's left over, right? What's still in my field. But you start to notice how you're just dragging different realities and you're being infiltrated the whole time. So it's very important to unplug. To stop learning as well. This is again like one of the traps that we have in this world. You need to do another course, you need to do an activation. I need to, like, there's so many things that we can consume, and it ends up spiritually bypassing the very essence of who we are because you get more lost than ever. Like, I've coached people out of the conditioning that they have around how many courses that they've learned, and they still don't know who they are. Because those courses and those modalities and those trainings, even though they help you to understand this realm and on a conscious level, on a mind level, they help you understand things and they help you access energy. If you think that that's the thing that you're supposed to be doing, you'll always feel unfulfilled. You'll kind of have a sense of it's not quite it. It will be like many Reiki practitioners because it's Reiki was channeled by somebody specific. Like, but what about your channel? What codes are you here to bring specifically? What is the light code of who you are in your essence, and how is that unique? Because if you put yourself in a modality, you're going to have to unplug yourself from it eventually. So again, this first phase is about unlearning, about unplugging, and this is kind of interesting because to circle all the way back, sorry, I like to weave all the way back to what you shared about noticing that you were in comparison and comparing yourself. This is a real good sisterhood wound, and it's also a real good signal because you notice the signal of comparison, right? It's a signal to show you that you still don't know yourself in your full essence, and you still don't believe and feel yourself in your full essence. Because if we're comparing, we're saying, I'm not that, I'm not good enough. We're in this external kind of experience. So the idea of comparison and also the fear of people copying you. This is brilliant because AI is bringing this up as well because there's so much mimicking going on. It's like you cannot be copied. Your frequency is unique. Like you are the only person, even if you're saying the same thing, your frequency is unique to you. Your codes are unique to you. Who you are is unique to you. So it doesn't matter what you do, it's you. When you uncover those codes and you remember and you actually turn on your whole vessel as a divine being. It really doesn't matter whether you're like a painter or a channel or Reiki healer or whatever. It will be you that you're bringing your essence through. So then the label doesn't matter. And then you know as well that nobody can take that from you because it's not something that you produce. It's not a course that you create. It's like, please take it all. It's free. It's free information. It's just information. The codes cannot be copied. The frequency, the transmission, right? And you're the only person who can bring your transmission. I'm the only person who can
That's
bring my
beautiful.
transmission. And this is why, right? And this is why it's so important that we love who we are. That why are we so focused on self-love? Nobody, like most of the field, has no idea what self-love is, right? To become love, what does that mean? It's to become yourself fully. It's to activate and to allow the full expression of who you are into the field, to not have any bending or contorting yourself to fit in to like the conditions that we live under are quite extreme sometimes. And we suddenly realize we've become like a frozen version of ourselves that's not free. You know, we don't have the free expression. So yeah, there's a lot, right? There's a lot of
There's a
like.
lot. And it makes me think too, at least in Western culture here, that there were these professions laid out, and you could be a teacher or a doctor, but they were very contained in a way. And there's so much more as humans we are that cannot be defined by a title. Like, let's say I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like it's infinite as well. And so we've been put in these boxes and then forgotten our potential.
We've been reduced to the mental field, the logic, the idea that our value is based on production and what we do. You know, so again, that's why I say it's not what you do, it's who you are. This is like it's like the opposite program. It's kind of funny. You can kind of turn everything on its head in the Matrix. It's like the opposite of that. So what would be the opposite of all those titles? No title, right? It's like right? But there is archetypes that we came down through, but it doesn't mean that that's who you are. Who you are in totality is this full embodiment of your expression, whatever that looks like. And that's inclusive of everything. Like everything. It's like you could be doing the weirdest thing in the world and just lit up by it. And somebody else might be like, well, that's really weird. I don't find that interesting at all. But it's like that's because their orientation is very specific to something else. You know, and we're so caught in like, my way is the right way. Again, the way, right? The path, the one way to awaken. It's like there's infinite ways. There is your only one way. Like you're only one way, not and that way, and where we get caught in the illusion is like when somebody discovers or creates a modality, they then say, this is the way. And then we have another Bible, right? And it's like it's not the way. Again, unplug from other teachings, get into what's coming through you, what is your way. And that's not so that you can teach everybody else that way and trap them outside of themselves, right? It's that you can inspire through your signal who you are, and that can help free other people in your free expression. You know, so we're kind of coming into that part of our awakening journey now, where we're becoming free expressions, free signals, the signal of remembrance, the light bulb turning on, like Tesla showed it to me. The light bulbs are coming on all over the planet, and you can feel it. I can notice the wave. All of a sudden, there's this boost of energy where the light workers are showing up, and I don't really like the term light workers because it assumes the dark light and dark, like evil, like it doesn't sit with me. But we are beings of light, and we did come here with a mission, and that mission of awakening, whatever way that looks like through your own experience, and awakening love, awakening to our own love first, not trying to save everybody else. It's like save yourself.
And you shared recently about when you had gone through your own diagnosis, I think just a couple of years ago, that you looked at that through the eyes of the brilliance of your own blueprint to activate you into more service, I imagine, and more knowing of yourself. And I think that is a really important point to touch upon, because I know many people right now are experiencing things that are challenging for them in their lives, whether it's what they're personally experiencing in their own body and life, or with their children now, having gone like in a post-COVID world, or this world saturated with technology, and sort of like just what's showing up right now. So, what is there to say about that? And almost like a message to somebody based on what you see and what you experienced.
Right, going through your challenges. Like I said earlier, the challenges are a gateway to your gifts. And actually, we could not access our blueprint without them. And I had the privilege, we'll say, of like the point of the checkpoint in time that I chose to go through my healing journey, actually, my physical. It was like, if you imagine the physical as the last place for something to manifest, so you're not given it physically until you're able to deal with it, right? So it's like, I could see the pieces that stopped me from discovering that sooner. You know, it was kind of interesting. And also I discovered that I had cancer through intuition. I had no symptoms. All of the tests were negative. I had to get very specific. Yeah, I had to get very specific scans because I was having these psychic dreams and I just knew there was something going on in my body. And I had three psychic dreams in a row. And I just went into the doctors and I was like, you need to check everything. I want all of these scans. And I listed all of the different things that I wanted. Spent a lot of money, but eventually found it. And I didn't have the same experience that most people would feel like, you know, the shock of like discovering that you have cancer. I was like relieved. I was like, oh, okay, now I know what I'm doing. You know, I know I'm not crazy, number one. And I know why it's happening also, because I had in that year surrendered to my divine will. What does that mean? It means that I sincerely chose fully with my full being, my full heart, to serve my mission as my number one, to really serve. And then I was like, be careful what you wish for, because if you're living out of alignment on any level with that, the things will collapse instantly. It's like, and the more connected you are and the more present you are, the quicker they will collapse, the more intense it can be. And again, we're never giving anything we cannot handle. Like, and I was on the edge with this one, it was quite a lot. But like having like being the privilege actually to the honor to go through a physical illness, having been given the codes of miracle healing, number one. Been given the codes of consciousness, always had this question. Like, I had a healing center that year as well, just opened the EE systems, this energy enhancement, like working with a miracle field, really trying to figure out, like, to understand, to understand how healing works, right? All questions are answered. You need to live things through your own experience to truly understand them. And I was kind of going through this experience, like, well, this is bravo. Like, one, I was getting the experience of like what healing is through the physical. And what illness is, what the disharmony is of the condition. And then also at the same time, I was seeing how this was bringing up my blueprint, because I already knew in that time, like I discovered years before that my blueprint is, I imprinted down through divine guardianship. So I discovered in this moment, I remembered the place that I was born from, the beauty of it. And then I asked, why did I come here? And I was crying, like, why am I here? And the answer that I got was because I can and I am a divine guardian. And then I had this huge surge of like remembrance of this guardianship energy. And it was kind of dragon, angel, alien. It wasn't one specific thing. It was more dragon than anything. And again, this isn't to identify as like, oh, I'm a divine guardian. It's we all chose archetypal things to imprint through, right? And I'm wearing angel wing. You can't see it, but like we'll have an affinity to certain things already. Like the angelic realm or whatever it is. And I was already like with all of these guides that had guardianship. And then I was like kind of piecing together like my whole story of like, whoa, this is so interesting. Because one of my main topics was I was really poor with boundaries because I came here to birth boundless love. So one of my challenges, my greatest challenge in this reality is definitely boundaries, right? And as a guardian, if you're given your sacred codes that you're here to protect them. And you're not boundaried, you won't be given anything because you're not going to honor and protect yourself as a being of love. So how on earth can you protect the sacred? You are sacred. You have a sacred temple that you've been gifted, like again, the miracle to protect. And I saw in that time that I was in a relationship that was really in disharmony with my whole well-being. And he was breaking my boundaries the whole time. We had a lot of boundary topics to the point where, like, reality was showing it to me on such a big level. We were building a temple and this healing center, and we had no doors on it for over a year. The doorman just didn't show up, right? So I was just being shown the topic, the gates, the door, like this gatekeeper energy. And my whole experience kept showing it to me on many different levels. So then when I got the diagnosis, I got cervical cancer. And the inside of the cervix, so you couldn't even see it on the outside. And it's so interesting. This is the gatekeeper to the divine feminine, the gatekeeper to the sacred temple, right? The gate, it's the gate, the entry point to the most sacred part of our body. Right. And I was just kind of going, wow. Like I was like, and
Makes
then
me
I was
want
like,
to cry. Yeah.
okay. And I was like, okay, now I'm gonna go through the initiation of the what happens when you don't have boundaries, right? The consequence of not taking care of yourself on the emotional, I was in emotional disharmony for years in that relationship that created this, I'm such a powerful manifester because my presence is so strong that one, like any kind of feeling is like amplified in my system. So, you know, when I say powerful souls come to go through physical things, they take it on because they can, because I can and I am, right? It's this kind of energy. And again, it's not, it doesn't make me special. Everybody, I want to overemphasize that. Everybody has their chosen archetypal imprinting. Like, you know, a lot of people have these experiences in their spiritual awakening where they like suddenly remember they were a priestess or Isis or they like, and why do so many people have the same ones, right? Somebody else will say, like, oh, I was Mary Magdalene and blah, blah, blah. And then somebody else is saying, well, I was Mary Magdalene. We're choosing consciousness to imprint through so that we have specific codes to live in this realm. So they're not, it's not that we were that person, it's that we took those codes on our way in here so that we could embody aspects of those, that consciousness. So again, I came down with all the divine guardian codes. So why am I like affiliated, we'll say, with all of these different guardians? It's because that's why I came here. I came here to be the guardian of the gates of consciousness. And I don't guard the gates. I help people unlock their gates. You know,
It's beautiful.
it's like the gates guard, divinity takes care of itself. Nobody needs to guard that. Nobody, but you have to guard, you have to protect yourself as a divine being.
Well, and
Yeah.
I, yeah. And the back to the unity consciousness is that when we're in that vibrational frequency of unity, there is no comparison. There is no, it's like the allowance of all the souls and every, the beauty and the magic and the way you do things that's so special to you. And having that come alive in the light bulbs you're talking about in each of us, there's nothing more magical.
Right. And can you imagine a sea of people that remember themselves? And I had this conversation with one of my friends here because he's also in his blueprint. And we were talking about having like a blueprint gala where like people who remember, because it's really enjoyable to sit with somebody who's really themselves. Because like I always say that the biggest compliment I can get is I've never met somebody like you. Because it's like, no, there is nobody like me. And I can say that this is, it will be the same for you, the same for everybody else. And it's a big compliment because it means that I'm being myself, right? And imagine a whole room of people who are so unique. They're no longer trying to compete or be like each other. They're fully embodying who they are in their essence. And even if there's other guardians, they'll have their own flavor. You know, and if you imagine this is like the brilliance of the whole design is like we have like a million different flavors, like infinite flavors to try. And some people like vanilla and some people like chocolate. And you know, it's like we just we're different flavors. And like that's why, but that's what resonance is about. Like, and I really enjoy experiencing this certain consciousness that I feel better with or better around, but I really enjoy experiencing other people's designs, right? When they remember them. So like, why am I doing this? Because I want to see who you are. Like, I'm like, it's like unwrapping the most precious gift. Where, you know, it's like, where are you? You know, let's see you. Come on. You know, it's like this kind of
That's
experience.
yeah.
I love it. I love it. Like, and I can't think of anything more precious that I could be experiencing here. It's like witnessing somebody giving birth to their essence,
Yes,
to,
yes,
you
yeah.
know, right? It's magical.
And that's one gift I've had from the podcast is to sit with so many individuals and just see kind of like this unraveling of their life story. And it's just the best feeling in the world. And so
Right.
I've been saying recently, like, okay, you know, you're on the right track. I had a question about, it's more of a specific question, but in the US here, we tend to, not we, some tend to want to label and have labels to kind of describe what their experience is. I don't know how, even how to say it, but are labels also sort of a portal? Like, let's say we're not fitting into society. And so we get a diagnosis of whether it's anxiety or ADD or depression or whatever it is. Do you think the label is just a portal to knowing ourselves too, sort of like you described AI earlier in the podcast?
Yes, I
Okay.
would ask. Yeah, absolutely. I would ask with like ADHD or any of these things. Okay, what's the gift of this? It's because I don't have a deficit. I have a hyper ability to focus on one, and it's like I just need to learn how to channel that. Again, this is a symptom of our scattered consciousness. Why are these new conditions? We're
Right.
scattered, we're fragmented. These conditions are showing us how disconnected we are from our core essence, from our ability to be present. So they're more like signals to show us where our energy is scattered, where we're not present, and there's something to work with. Whereas if you own the label, you medicate, you kind of just go, oh, it's just part of a default. Like it's not a default, a defect. It's not. It's something that is in your experience that is signaling to you to pay attention to. Even with like autism and these other conditions that we've labeled as something wrong, autistic people are more like five-dimensional. They struggle to live in our density. That's the problem. We're the problem, not them, not them. So they because they find this reality, they're so sensitive and they find this reality so disharmonious that it's like really painful on their bodies. And I've been around a lot of people that have kind of awakened a little bit more to the 5D that aren't autistic, and they have similar experiences of sensitivity. Sometimes I feel a lot of pain in my body as well around certain things, and it's like you're just feeling very deeply the disharmony that's in the field. So that they're really like struggling to re relate and to be in this world because of that. And we think there's something wrong with them. And it's like if we just look at the purpose of everything, even Down syndrome, they're showing us what pure unconditional love is. They're so pure. They don't have the same experience as us at all. They're living in a totally different reality. And we think there's something wrong. It's again, it's going to like, well, what is the gift of that? What is the signal? What is it showing me about myself? And if you take the diagnosis as an entry point to explore like what's
Love
actually going on and
that.
not to medicate, right? To meditate, to go in, to inquire, to ask questions. And honestly, like a lot of people get relief when they feel like, oh, I've been diagnosed. Finally, there's an explanation for it. I have spoken to people who kind of play that role for a while and be like, oh, it feels nice to have, like, I can just take these pills, like for depression or whatever it is. But then they come back around and they're like, oh, I feel numb. I don't feel anything anymore. I don't like this. And they explore taking it. And then they kind of go, I'm going to feel again. I'm going to stop taking them. Right. And it's like, we need these experiences, the disconnect to come back into connection. So there's nothing wrong with any of this reality. We've created all of these distortions and these through the mind, right? The mind that's trying to control life. Like, oh, we have a very linear way in the medical system to deal with things. And we're breaking out of that now. Our consciousness is getting wider than that. This is really interesting, actually, with healing technology. Tesla was telling me that like how his stuff was suppressed and stolen when he was here, like because he had the codes for free energy and for healing. And he told me that it was suppressed on purpose by divine design because our consciousness was not ready. We're not going to be given something that's going to override our need to self-inquire. So like if we were given machines now that could heal us, we then wouldn't deal with the root cause of why we're not well in the first place, the disharmony. What's happening is the technology is going to be released and unsuppressed as we unsuppress ourselves. So it's almost like as there's a certain level of consciousness in the field, that technology is also going to come forward, not before. So there's not going to be suddenly this. It's going to be a holistic thing because it is a divine design. We're not allowed to skip steps.
And I that for myself, that just what I notice sometimes is being around people now who are willing to speak their truth in terms of new paradigm thinking. And I just grew up such a quieter person, and I came from a big family unit and was near the end of it. And it was, and of course, I do this now, but yet in my personal life, or those who I run into, it's like this freeing of what I know to be my truth, my path, and then sharing that being so important, and kind of shedding that light on the world, or a new way to think about something is so important. And I say that for all of us. And it just, when you're talking about the labels, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking so much of younger generations. And just opportunities to spread this type of work and to teach. And I was going to ask you too, like in terms of the distortion of we think that we're the problem, but the system's really the problem, and we're trying to fit into some system outside of ourselves. But our individuals also almost like soaking in frequencies of energy that are not great for them, that are leading, like whether it's through food or video or Netflix, or you know what I mean? Because then it comes to mind, like your words of purify and cleanse, and the Bali holiday you're talking about, you know, like so
Yes.
all of it. But I feel like we're also soaking in frequencies of what's programmed out there.
Absolutely. And we're going to get much more aware of the frequencies that are unhealthy that are all around us. This is why, like, if you're sick, it's really good to go into nature because nature doesn't have the distortions that we have. Even the electrical grids are interfering with us. And it's like we're going to develop illnesses to show us this. There's going to be like suddenly the physical is going to present the symptoms of the what's happening in the grid. Absolutely, when I say like to unplug and to detox and to cleanse, like be careful what you consume because it will consume you. When we're not solid and sovereign, we get pulled very easily into Netflix and then we're suddenly watching some war movie or and we have this energy of whatever it is that we're actually engaging with, we're interacting with. You see it, you're exposing yourself to it. That there are frequencies on so many different things. All food has codes. Like how far away is it from its divine nature? How far away is it from source? How disconnected, how dead is it? All the processed food that we have now is completely dead. Are you in connection in communion with your food? Like I pray to my food. And not in a like not not in a like this like as you imagine the regular prayer, I'm bringing down the frequency. I'm welcoming that food as part of me. I'm bringing that food into me to become part of me. It's a sacred experience of you're consuming, you're consecrating with the food. And we're so busy and we're so not present that we're rushing and we're eating quickly and we're not taking that time to be in communion and like to be in sacred union with our food, with what we consume. And there's a lot of unconscious consumption. And again, be careful what you consume, it will consume you. We eventually then see the effects of that over a longer period of time where we're not well. Our bodies then we're out of touch with our intuition, so we don't know what we should be eating because we're trying to do a specific diet from the mind, right? Because we need to be skinny or something. And then we're suddenly eating something that our body really doesn't like, but we're not listening to our body. And I was going to circle back around to you were saying when you were younger, you were always much more quiet and everything. I was like, yeah, but you developed great listening skills. You're a really good listener. You're not just listening to respond, you're listening. I can feel that as part of your gift. So why you would have been quiet as a child was you're developing your ability to listen, right? And then obviously you overcame that and you learn how to speak as well. You learn how to share as well. But it's and something else you were saying, not to miss it, going and touching, like sharing your wisdom wherever you can. I think sometimes in this world, when we're in the healing realm and when we're working in this realm, that we think that we need to do it on a big scale and that we need big numbers and we need to impact as many people as possible. But actually, what I find, and my containers are small and sacred, what I find is this one-to-one, and this is interesting because it's actually the original guru relationship, not the gurus that we have now. It's this one-to-one intimate relationship where you really take care to birth the truth, to really like hold the seed of the truth in the center, and you focus on it, and it's a very intimate, longer connected relationship. And for me, I take care of this seed the whole time. So when I'm meeting people, there's no person that I meet that's less important than the other person. And it's like taking that time to sit with even a Balinese person that I can't speak English and just exchange energy. And when I pray as well, this is kind of funny because in Bali it's crazy the traffic. It's like you're sitting on the back of a bike and there's hundreds of bikes going everywhere. And I'm like, I need to pray, right? I'm in this, like, I need to pray for my life. And I was at the start, I was just doing what I normally do when I travel, is I call in my dragons actually, because they're really good with traveling. And I pray for protection. And then what I realized was like, oh, I can pray to the whole field for everybody, like for all everybody's guides. That's driving my driver and the other people that are around me, rather than just me. Because then I'm engaging everybody's guides to take care,
That's
right? And
beautiful.
it's like we have this whole team of people and it's taking care of everyone as part of me. I'm not more important than the driver. It's like protect all of us. And that engagement Like, and that means if and because Bali people are much more in the flow, they're more bendable because they're listening more. So you kind of see these weird movements that are happening. Whereas in the West, we drive like this, you know, there's like this I
Yes.
guess it's more ego driving. And you see the people here, they call them bullies, like when the Western people that are speeding, and
Oh.
you can really, it's like things become very obvious in this field where you can see the consciousness that's driving, right?
Totally. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I know today, Crystal, too, you wanted to do a transmission so we can experience some of what we're talking about in terms of consciousness. I had a last question for you that it came to me recently in terms of how we view our lives, and it's around the stories we tell ourselves. And it came to me recently, and you alluded to this too earlier in the podcast, that yes, when you begin to start to be aware of things and you go on that personal growth and that personal transformation path, I believe that that path is necessary for most of us, probably all of us, to clear emotional wounds, do our healing, all the thing, understand. But what I've realized now as I'm journeying down this path is that some stories that I used to tell about what happened earlier in my life and how terrible they were, and how, my hand on my hip, like this, of course, I'm justified. They're falling away. And like even this morning before we met, I had an experience where each of my siblings, my mom, she's been gone almost 10 years, but she gave us a cookbook at one point. And it's darling because, I mean, it's just like a binder, but on the front of it, she was a great cook. And it was her at Thanksgiving. And she is in front of a turkey. And it's a picture that's pasted on the front of the binder. And I looked at it and I thought, I'm so grateful to you and Dad, because he's been gone for a few years too. But that's not the story I always told. For a long, long time, I told the story of like, well, they didn't tend to me. I didn't learn intimacy from them. All the things. And I found myself like looking at this picture of my mother, like, I'm so grateful. And so, is it all, again, is it all true? And when we come into another realm of consciousness, do we re rewrite? Is it possible to have a rewriting of the story? Yeah. Does that make sense?
You're remembering the truth of what you chose more so than like the story does. The experience of the story changes because you have access to the gratitude for what you chose. Like I see like the parents playing the biggest role, like and these teachers in terms of partners and people that come to teach us really hard things and to have we have these agreements with them. And again, when you go back to your design, like I chose to imprint down through Ireland. You know, and this like Catholic, you know, this church energy, a Catholic family, like, and I was like the alien in the village. Like, I just really didn't fit in there, and it was perfectly chosen. And you know, I really see actually one of the. This, I'm glad you asked this or you brought this up. One of the main things that we don't do in healing is actually, and the one of the main things that we need to do in healing is actually honor the father and the mother from a true space. What I see the whole time in this world is like people are just going on healing, blaming that they had a terrible childhood and resenting and never getting through it, like never, and once they get over it, never transforming it, never understanding why they chose that. Again, we're in the lack and victim mentality from that aspect, and we'll stay in this victim, villain, savior triangle until we break free of it, until we own our power. And actually, when you start to feel your family and the love that brought you here, even though like you ha didn't have a perfect childhood, that they were not present, they were this, they were that, there's so many different things, you start to see the perfection of, like, for example, my dad was very not present and he never really spoke or expressed himself, so I had this wound of the absent masculine. But then I also could see what he didn't imprint me with because he never gave me parenting. I was like, whoa, I'm a free agent. I didn't have conditioning because of it. You know, whereas I could have focused on, and obviously I had wounds from like the absence of the program, but it that or the absence of that guidance. But I see the amount of love that he held back, like so that I could be who I am. And then you start to see like that's a really big role that he played for his whole life. And when I pray, and I'll do this, actually this leads into what I want to do with us together perfectly anyway. We bring the mother and the father in. You explore this relationship on the soul level of your mother and your father, and you start to feel and generate the gratitude and the love for those. You know, when I spoke at the start of like gratitude being the main prayer, it's like, why do we focus so much on gratitude as a practice? Because it's very potent in prayer and it has to be real. We can't create gratitude. We have to really feel it. It's the same as compassion. It's something that is a result of feeling the truth. So when you feel the truth of the love of your parents, you open the floodgates for love for you. And if we cut ourselves off from this source by blaming, we're handing our power away. We're actually cutting ourselves off from the source of the love that we came through. That means that we can never be full power on because we're not in this deep relationship with honoring. And I don't mean just on the soul level. If your parents are still alive, practice it in real time. I had the gift of doing this over the last few years of really understanding the true movement that was coming from me. I have so much love for my parents, so much love and gratitude, and really being able to go home and honor them from a real place. And I started to see how it softened the whole family, you know, and it's like there was none of this blame and those triggers. And you know, they say if you want to see how enlightened you are, go home and spend a week with your family. Right. And actually, this can change. It doesn't always feel like that. And that's my own experience of it. I'm no longer triggered there. There's a bandwidth, there's a much wider bandwidth to be with everything because I can see through the real eyes of the divine what's actually happening, the divine design of your family too. So that we have divine design in everything, every little tiny detail. There's no mistake in this reality. There's no mistake. So just know that everything that's happening to you is through you, for you, with you, in you. You chose it. And right. And that's hard when you're in victim. Why would I choose this? But explore it. It's an invitation, right? It's an invitation.
Okay. Thank you. I'm so glad I asked that. Okay. So what we're going to do now is, Crystal, when we were emailing back and forth, you were talking about offering a prayer transmission for the collective, for the audience. So we're going to take time for that now. And I'm going to thank the audience members for being here with us today and just say a few words so we're going to go into the, Crystal's going to go into this transmission right now. And I want to say we're also going to take this and separate it. So today I'm sitting with Crystal Claire, and this is an addendum. It's both included in and an addendum to the episode that is airing. So we're going to take it apart so you can listen to it by itself in at any time you want to and benefit from it and allow it to just sink into your being and to your cells and help you remember why you're here, I think. So, Crystal, I'll hand it over to you and we'll begin.
Thank you. So, yeah, just inviting you to sit into the seat of where you're sitting, just feeling into the present moment, becoming present in the here now, just taking some deep inhales and deep exhales. And you can sound on the exhale and just allowing yourself to get into that presence of witnessing all parts of you together, pulling your consciousness, your focus into the center point of you. Inhaling and exhaling deep into the center of you, Yanda you. And just welcoming in a feeling and a connection to your mother and your father, the soul of your mother on your left, the soul of your father on your right. Whatever your relationship is in the physical or was, just welcome in the source that you came through. Welcoming in the feeling, the connection to their soul, where there is no story, no history of what's happened, just pure love. And just allowing yourself to witness and feel how they land next to you, or where they land next to you. And if you can, accessing the feeling of gratitude for your life, gratitude for them bringing you here. Just inviting you to feel that gratitude for a moment. From your center, from you, the connection point between heaven and earth, Father Sky and Mother Earth, you are the sacred sun in the center. And breathing into the center of you, Yandai you, Yandai you. breathing into your sacred center, allowing yourself to feel the love that you came through and the love that you will return to, the love that you are through this experience, the sacred sun in the center, you and your own brilliance, your own light turning on from the inside out. Yandayu, 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 calling yourself back home to you in your center, dear one. I pray to the ancient one inside of you that knows, that remembers the love that you are, the precious divine miracle of life that you are. And every cell in your body is perfect, miracle, divine, sacred. Breathe in your sacredness through your whole body. Feel the love that you are, the love that you came through. Inviting you into that gratitude through your center for your life. And bringing your fingers, if you feel it together, touching your fingertips. And feeling the sacred codes of who you are through those fingertips. The sacred codes of the essence of your frequency. Landing into the center of you, the center point of you. Seeing yourself through the divine eyes, the sacred one, the holy one, the ancient one. And I pray to the ancient one inside of you that knows, that remembers that you are sacred and you are divine. You are perfect, whole, complete already. There are no programs, only source code remembering itself through you. Unplug and free yourself from the mind matrix and come back to you in the center. Come back to the center point of you. Yandayu. 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 Feel your heart open, dear one, to the center of you, Yandayu. Allow the frequency to call you home to you. Yandayu. Yandayu. Through every cell in your body, you are sacred, you are divine, you are whole, perfect, complete already. I honor you as part of me. I love you as part of me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Coming back to the center of the stillness of the zero point, landing back into the present moment of you, pulling the sacred you from that realm into this reality as you open your eyes, come back to you, all of you, all of you, all of you here now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Crystal. And to the audience, thank you for staying till the end. Thank you for just listening and opening yourself up to everything that Crystal shared today. And Crystal, I don't know if you just want to add any sort of departing message for the moment, or if you feel complete.
In a sea of sameness, be yourself. Be your weird. Be your weird, wonderful, whole self.
I love it. Okay. Till the next time, to the listeners, thank you. And let us know if you have any questions or comments. See you next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.